Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. If you're looking to see some innovative and exciting theater from emerging young artists this summer, then you definitely want to check out the Corkscrew Theater Festival, which kicks off today at Paradise Factory. It's 64 East 4th Street. Founded in 2017, the Corkscrew Theater Festival showcases original productions by early career theater artists who are creating work through collaborations. The annual summer festival also gives voice to underrepresented artists and viewpoints. So joining us now to tell us a little bit more about Corkscrew Live's lineup are Alexander Donnelly, Alex, Corkscrew's Festival Director, Thomas Capusta, Artistic Director, and playwright Morgain Moe Gooding Silverwood. Welcome. Did I say it right?
Morgain.
Morgain. Morgain. Thank you. But I'm going to call you Moe.
Yes,
okay,
please.
Thank
Go for
you.
It. Thank you.
How did the festival start?
Oh, boy. Well, Tom and I had met in college doing undergraduate student theater. And when we graduated, we were looking for production opportunities. And one of the easiest places to find them when you're a young up-and-coming theater artist is festivals. Mm-hmm. There was the Fringe Festival. There's a number of other festivals that we had participated in. We were used to doing productions in this festival model, which is meant to be very efficient. Mm-hmm. You have 15 minutes to load in and out. You have a very limited technical rehearsal process. And we were used to doing that. And we would always, after a show would wrap, we would sit down together and say, "Ma'am, wouldn't it be great if we could have a full technical rehearsal for once?"
Or no part of that festival system is really built to accommodate exciting design or, worthwhile sort of theater experiences, in my experience, at least.
Right. And I had always felt as a producer and someone who wanted to let, the world know that I was ready to produce theater. It was hard to showcase the work that you wanted to do. Even if you had the best script, you were very limited in what you could offer. So Tom and I had always fantasized about creating our own version of this, which at first was, let's just rent a theater and get four of our friends to do a show. Back in 2017, we saw the announcement that the Fringe Theater Festival would not be returning, or they would take a year off to sort of recalibrate. Tom and I had the brunch that changed it all, where we said, if we're going to do it, it has to be this year. And it started in 2017. Mo was one of our very first theater artists who took that risk with us back before we even knew what the festival was going to be. And we feel like every year we've sort of doubled down and reaffirmed our commitment to removing barriers to entry for up-and-coming theater artists.
Mo, what made you jump in? What made you think this would be the right venue? This is the right opportunity?
Well, I had a friend, Raquel Chavez, who's an amazing performer. And I had been speaking with her about the show that I was pondering working on. And she said she knew these guys. And I was actually hesitant because it was basically just this group of white guys. And, I'm a queer theater artist. I want to center marginalized voices in my work. And I really didn't know whether or not they were going to be not accommodating, but if they were just going to understand the things that people like me and other folks need. But she kind of assured me that they were very cool, if you will, very down. And I took a leap of faith kind of in applying, I think. I sent in 10 pages of something. It was not a script. And I sent in these four recordings, these songs from therapy that I had with my sister, my twin sister, who has borderline personality disorder. And I was like, this isn't really a show. It's just a concept. They loved it, I think. I don't know.
You
guys can be like, it was whatever.
Well, Corkscrew is less about sort of a finished product in the first place, mm-hmm. and more about a process that you undertake together. And we are choosing less than shows. We're choosing the artists behind them and the key collaborative relationships behind them. And when you sent that in and you said the key collaborative relationship was between you and your sister, we thought that no one is making that. Let's try to help.
Yeah, and I felt just so welcomed the second I came in, and then it was oh, I'm on board with these guys for good. Yeah.
When you're talking about collaboration, is it the idea of collaboration between the artist and you as the directors, or is it the artists and the actors, or is it just everybody getting together and making it happen?
In the first place, it was really about we are trying to center the collaborations that sort of come to us. So it's a pre-existing relationship that we are trying to put in the best context to succeed. As we've grown over these last few years, we've realized the real thing that's at stake, the real collaboration that we're interested in, is between us as a festival and the artists, mm-hmm. and how we can be a place that not just showcases those collaborations, but like incites those collaborations and really makes them more robust because they were a part of Corkscrew, not despite.
So instead of sort of being, the pieces being like a museum piece and you're over here, yeah. you sort of organically become one with your artists.
That's
and
right.
with the pieces.
Yes,
it's so supportive, really. And like just so much like a family. And I think that starts out with the fact that there's no fee to apply, which kind of shows that they're like already willing to sort of like let you in. They're already interested in your work because they're not forcing you to pay to make them like read your stuff. It's like they genuinely care. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Mo, your piece, what is it? What are you presenting? It's called Stone.
It's called Stone. Yes. Well, this year we're working on Stone, which is kind of derived from Leslie Feinberg's book Stone Butch Blues, which was a very like seminal text mm-hmm. for a lot of dykes back in the day, not so much now. And it's basically an homage to all of the masculine of center butch heroes of the 60s, and talking about sort of the ways that people fought back and organized from a perspective that I think we haven't heard a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
We hear a lot about Stonewall, which is so important, and it's incredible how much light is being shown on that period and those people, Marsha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera. But there were also bars all across the country that were being bombarded with mm-hmm. Police violence, harassment from bigots, and from every side they were getting it. And there were, you know, masculine of center and butch people who were sort of at the core of fights in different communities to end the anti-cross-dressing ordinances that were allowing mm-hmm. the police to come in. And harass them. And so, you know, it's adding to the story of these queer histories. It's important to have queer history so we feel like we belong, you know. It's another piece.
And when can people see Stone?
July 26th All until right. August 3rd.
We're talking about the Corkscrew Festival with its executive director, Alex Donnelly, and its artistic director, Tom Kapusta, and playwright Mo Gooding Silverwood. Okay, we've got a few minutes left. Alex, give me sort of a preview of what people can see. I know you can't play favorites, but just a highlight or two.
I mean, a total range. We have comedies that will make you slap your leg all the way to very serious pieces about what does it mean to be excellent. What does black excellence look like? Why is there only room for one person of black excellence at the top? That play in particular, Patience, focuses on a character who identifies more as Venus Williams in a world where everyone seems to care about Serena Williams, and what does that look like for them? We have on then the other side a show called 6 Years Old, which is about a six-year-old starting to maybe see hints of their gender queerness, but using very elevated language as if they were, you know, a 20 or 30 year old, kind of discovering what mm-hmm. it means to have fluidity and a spectrum of gender because they have this babysitter who is a little bit butch.
And they want to be a Jedi too, don't they?
And they want to be a Jedi.
They want to be Han Solo. Han
yes!
Solo is their hero.
Yes. That was the yes. man.
Yes, exactly.
Now, am I right in saying, Tom, that you have a pay what you can performance?
We sure do, yes. Mm-hmm.
So, how do you accomplish that?
Carefully. every one of our main stage shows upstairs, so we have two venues this year, but these main stage shows, each one of them has one night where we do 20 pay what you can tickets right at the door. So if you come and we have the tickets, it's pay what you can. So you can find those dates on our website. Yeah, corkscrewfestival.org.
What do you hope that accomplishes?
We want to change who comes to see theater. Mm-hmm. We're not just changing how we make it. We want to see how we can change who sees it. So that means, you know, really targeted outreach to communities that might not know that they're being represented on stage and want to come and see that they are. As a part of that, we want to make sure that we can accommodate you no matter what your ability is to pay for that ticket.
I dig your enthusiasm. You bob up and down when you talk about this.
He bobs up and down all the time.
It's a good quality. It's a good quality. The name of it is the Corkscrew Theater Festival. It is running from July 10th, which was yesterday, through August 3rd at Paradise Factory, 64 East 4th Street. What's the website again?
CorkscrewFestival.org.
Alex, Tom, and Mo, thank you so much for coming on down.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'll meet you at the top of the hour.